Former Baylor law professor Mark Osler, now at the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis, makes a Walmart analogy to describe the war on drugs. We've all heard of the dealers being arrested on the streets. But, says Osler, fighting the drug war by taking down the dealers is like trying to drive Walmart out of business by arresting the greeters. Osler believes to bring down a drug empire, cutting off the labor isn't important. But cutting off the money, he says, could make a huge difference. And he believes it's something that can be done.
You know, imagine that you've got a very high profit Mexican manufacturer of methamphetamine. Let's say they're making a 30% profit, the exporter in Mexico is. Well, what you have to do is follow the money going back the other way, and right before it crosses the border, you grab it. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that and interdict 31% of the money, the business is going to fail without us imprisoning a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You just won't have the dealers anymore because the business will be gone. Now, can we do that? We can. And we're in a much better position now than we were 10 years ago. And that's one of the positive byproducts of 9/11, that in the pursuit of terrorists, we've gotten much, much better at tracking money in financial systems and the ability to take that cash or, you know, credit and whatever is out in whatever way it's flowing. There's a couple benefits. One is, we keep the money. And this is going to be a self-supporting system. And the other is that I think finally we would have a chance of actually doing something about the drugs that really are harmful to our society, and most people would agree, are damaging.
What are the difficulties that this would present, or are there?
There are difficulties, and one is that you've got all these people, I mean, tens of thousands of people in the United States who are trained at traditional drug interdiction, which is you go, you find some guy in the street who's selling cocaine, and you arrest him. Now, of course, the problem has been that someone else is just going to fill that spot pretty quickly. So how do you redirect those people to go after money? That is a challenge, but it's not really that difficult. I mean, we have done that with counterterrorism. For example, the FBI had an anti-drug section. You know, when I was a prosecutor in the late 1990s, they had a very active drug interdiction sector. They got rid of that, and many of those people switched over to counterterrorism in the wake of 9/11. And it's been pretty effective. It is possible to do that. Now, a lot of what I'm talking about changing, I'm not talking about changing in the states. I'm talking about changing the way the federal government does business in this area. And that serves a couple purposes, one of which is federalism, that it is going to pull the – I mean, we had this incredible expansion of federal intrusion into the states. I mean, down to the level where you've got federal agents basically doing, you know, individual sales of drugs and taking those people down. That's not what the federal government should be doing. That's what states should be doing if they care about that. And states care about that in different ideas, and that's why we're a republic is, you know, if that is something that Alabama wants none of, they can blanket the streets with cops and do what they can to prevent street sales. If California is okay with people having marijuana, that's our system, and let that be.
What are people's response to this as you say this?
I have found that one response is, how come no one thought of that before? And it's interesting because there has been a movement to increase forfeitures, but that's something different for the most part. When people talk about forfeitures, that's a tool by which if something is the product of narcotics dealing, that is it's something you buy a boat because you're a drug dealer and you buy it with drug money, we can forfeit that. Or if it we can prove that it's something that's funding narcotics, we can seize that. Mostly what has happened is that forfeitures have been used against small and middle-level people. That, you know, if we can find someone who is a distributor in a town, we'll take their house, we'll take their car, we'll take the money that they have. And I think that's good. But what I'm talking about is something very different, and that is trailing the money until – because the money flows back usually through the same route that the drugs came in. In other words, let's say that you've got someone selling from Mexico wholesale. There's a wholesaler on this side in Houston who's sending things to Austin, Los Angeles, and Atlanta. And then in Atlanta, for example, there'll be four local distributors, and they'll all have, you know, a lot of people who are out on the street. Well, let's say we get the person in Atlanta who's the distributor there. That's good. But it's not as good as getting the person in Houston. And if we follow the money back, we don't have to worry about taking the guy down. sure, I'd love to take the guy down, and because I believe in retribution for the kind of crime he does. But what's really going to make the difference is taking the money.
You can find a link to Mark Osler's Huffington Post article on the subject and see yesterday's story online at kwbu.org. You can hear the complete conversation Sunday at 3 on KWBU Rewind. For KWBU News, I'm Derek Smith.